Good morning. Today's daf and sota Mem Gimel. We are starting on Mem Beis Amud Beis. Thank the Masuth family, Western New Jersey, for sponsorship of the entire Masechta learning that we do. Is a Zecher Nishmas Nechemia Ben Avraham. We are continuing here. B'nei Amon. Mem Beis Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. And the Mishnah is talking about going out to war. We're discussing the Meshuch Mechama. Cohen responsible for the army. Chief chaplain of the Jewish army. So he has responsibilities of speaking to the Jewish people as they're ready to go out to war. He's also responsible for exemption. So we're discussing that, and we're going to be discussing it for the entirety of today. The Mishnah told us that when you go to war, so you're going to be reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be reliant on man, but rather be reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mishnah gives us a couple of historical examples where our enemies, were reliant on man, and they lost, and we are reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we won. So the first of the two examples given in the Mishnah was the Plishtim, and specifically Goliath, and the battle with David at the time who was a kid. And so that was the first example. And so yesterday we went through a lengthy discourse of the Gemara regarding Goliath and his mother Arpa, and the Gemara gave us many details over there. Now we're going on to the second example, and Bnei Amon. So we're just picking it up right there in the Gemara. Mem Beis Amud Beis. Bnei Amon Bao Bnei Tzchono Shel Shavach. So the and the Bnei Amon. So that was their victory with Shavach. So in Shmuel Beis is referred to as Shavach, who was the general. And then if you look in Devar Yamim, it's Shofach. So we have already dealt with a number of times in our Masechtas discrepancies between the way it's reported originally here, meaning Shmuel Beis, and then the way it's told over again in Divrei Yamim, and everything's intentional, and any discrepancies are meant to be darshaned. And so the Gemara picks up on them. The Gemara does not pick up on all the discrepancies, and I don't want to give off the impression that I know all the discrepancies. I do not. But I know that the Gemara's discussions of the discrepancies are not exhaustive. I'm just simply pointing it out. Rav Shmuel Charamar Shofech Shmo. So what's the general's name? So according to one version, is the general's name is Shofech, V'lam Nikra Shmo Shavach, Shasui Kishavach. So he was as tall as a Shavach. Okay, basically a birdhouse. But in other words, I know I say birdhouse, and you and I do not have this imposing image. So I'm probably not doing justice in terms of giving a good image of what it is, but it's really high up, and he was tall. In other words, this general was a giant, just like Goliath previously was a giant. This Ammonite general also was a giant, big like a birdhouse. But I say that, and I'm not giving off the full impression. His name is really Shovach and Shofach, because when people see him, they're so scared and they're so intimidated, they basically lose control of their bowels. Ash pasok kever pasok kulam giborim. The Gemara brought down a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding the Shovach Shofach. So the Gemara now is going to be quoting a pasuk in Yirmiyahu and with a similar construct, machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So ash pasok kever pasok kulam giborim. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Yirmiyahu is forecasting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to drop down on the Jewish people a very strong nation. And Rav Shmuel v'Amri La, Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi. So Machlokus Amaraim, two versions of who are arguing. Chana Mar Shebesha'a Shezorkin Chetosin Ashpasos Shel Chalalim. So when they send their arrows, so many are falling. V'Shema Tamar Sheumnim Bikrav. So the Tamalam Kulam Giborim. And maybe you'll tell me, I don't know, they're not all skilled archers. No, they're all skilled archers. Chanamar Bishasha Osin Sorcheyem Osim Ashpasos Ashpasos Shol Zevel. So another way to say it over is that this nation that is going to that's going to conquer the Jewish people are going to be and forgive me for being so graphic, but they're going to be defecating a lot. And Veshema Tomar Mimnesha Cholam Ha'amim Tamalam Rekulam Giborim. And it's not because they have any kind of GI issues. It's because they're Giborim. So Amar Rav Marish Mamina Ha'iman Denafish Divlei Cholam Ha'im Hu. So the Gemara says, okay, normally speaking, generally speaking, if you're going to the bathroom a lot, so it's probably, in other words, it's symptomatic. And it means that you have some sort of GI issue. So Lamay Nafkevina Litrich Benafshe. So the Gemara says, and what does that mean? It means you should go see the doctor. So, okay. And one more time, that we're going to go a little bit off-road. We're going to go off on another tangent. And but again, it brings the same structure, same construct of machlokas. Pasuk in Mishlei, Daga Belev Ish, Yish, Yashchena. So if a person has anxiety, if he has stress, so what should he do? He should be Yashchena. What does that mean? So Rabbi Ami V'Ravasi Chalamar Yashchena Midato. So one pshat is Yashchena means that basically you should distract yourself from any of the concerns and worries that you have in this world. Stop worrying. Easier said than done, but that's one day. Chalamar Yisichena L'Acherim. And the other one says, no, talk it out. In other words, get yourself a good friend or a good therapist and talk it out and share your worries and anxieties with others, and that will be helpful. Okay, this idea of talking it out—it's, you know, we think of it as a very modern idea. The Gemara is bringing it down as one of the explanations as in this pasuk in Mishlei. Ve'atem yatem kein. Okay, now we go back. We're back at our Mishnah and just simply giving simple pshat in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you don't rely on man. Meaning, right, not like our enemies. Right, the Plishim relied on a man, and the Ammonim relied on a man, and not you. And the pasuk goes on to say, I'm reminding all of us what we said back in the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah quoting the pasuk in Shoftim. So, and the Mishnah goes on to say, that's a reference to the Aaron. Kol kach lama. So, what does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going with us? So the Gemara says, because what do we have over here? We have Shem Hashem in the Aron, right? Most probably the Gemara is referencing the Luchos that are in the Aron, which have Psukim. And obviously incorporating those Psukim is Shem Hashem. So when the Pasuk says that Hashem is gone with you, so obviously Akash Baruch Hu is with us all the time. But in other words, but when we're going out to war, so what actual manifestation of Akash Baruch Hu do we have? So we have the Aaron that goes out to war with us. And when we went to battle with Midian at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, right, which we're reading this week in Shul. Oh, perfect. So the pasuk says that Moshe sent Vayishlach Osam Moshe. Moshe sent them. So what's the them? So Osam Elo Sanhedrin and Pinchas do Meshuch Machama. So the Osam is a reference to the Sanhedrin, which oddly enough went out to battle. And Pinchas is a reference to, I'm sorry, right, and Pinchas is a reference to the Meshuch Machama. And Uklei HaKodesh, now granted, by the way, I didn't read that, but that is the continuation of the Pasuk. So is the Aron of Aluchos Shabbat? So that's the Aron, and the Luchos that are in the Aron that are going out as well. And finally, V'chatzotzos, Atrua Ilo Shofros. And the Chatzos is a chur, is a reference to the shofar. We're blowing shofar while going out to battle. So Tana Lalechinam Halach Pinchas Machama Eli Pari Bedin Avi Moshe Nemar Vamedanim Machru Oso El Mitzrayim. Okay, as long as we are describing Pinchas leading the army to battle Midian, so the Gemara now is going to just spend a moment talking a little bit more about why Pinchas was so invested in going and doing battle with Midian. So the Gemara says because he had a generational vengeance against the Midianim, and that is as follows. The Gemara right now is assuming that Pinchas is a descendant of Yosef. Now, of course, by the way, Pinchas is a Kohen, so this needs a little more explanation. We're going to get a little bit more in our Gemara, but he's a descendant of Yosef, and what happened with Yosef? So Yosef was sold by the Midianim. Now, if you're reading the Pesukim carefully over here, you heard me say Midianim and not Midyanim. It certainly sounds like from our Gemara over here, Zelbazach. It's the same thing. So Midianim and Midyanim. Okay, so we have a lot to try to clean up over here. Meaning that that Pinchas was invested to go to battle against Midianim. Why? Because the Midianim were the ones who sold his altar Zaydi, right? One of his older grandparents, i.e. Yosef, meaning he's a descendant of Yosef, and therefore, now that's it. Pinchas now is going to be avenging. So, Lememet de Pinchas mi Yosef Asis, the Gemara immediately follows up with a really simple question. What? Pinchas is coming from Yosef? So, v'haksiv alazim en aron, lakachlo mibnos petio lo liisha. So, we think we know the lineage of Pinchas. So, we know that his father is Elazar, who is the son of Aaron. obviously going all the way back to Levi. And so, and who did he take as a wife? He took Benos Putiel. So my loved Asim Yisrael. Now, presumably what that means is that from his mother's side, in other words, we know where he comes from his father's side. So that's off the table. Not seems to be. Let's say it clearly. So from his father's side, that's off the table. There's no way that we can go ahead and connect on his father's side him going back to Yosef. Can't be. Now, on his father's side, he's going back to Levi. That's clear. So the only thing we have to now work with is his mother's side. Yeah, but on his mother's side, so we know that Elazar ended up marrying Mibnos Putiel. So the my love Dasim Yisro. So presumably Putiel is a reference to Yisrael. And so the Gemara says, Lo, mi Yosef shepita b'yitzro. So the Gemara says, no, Putiel over here can be a reference to Yosef, because what did Yosef do? He fought with his Yetzer Hara, going and referencing obviously the incident, the episode of Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. V'halo shvatim evazenoso, re'isem ben putizeh, ben shepitem avi imo, agalim la'avodos kochavim, yarog nasim Yisrael. The Gemara says, yeah, but you're not right. Meaning, our original assertion was correct, that on his mother's side, he's a descendant of Yisrael. Why? Because when he went ahead and he killed Zimri and Cosby, and Zimri was the Nasi of Sheva Shimon, so everyone basically pointed him and said, what a hypocrite. Meaning, how can he possibly go ahead and kill Zimri, when meanwhile, he himself is descendant of idolaters? Meaning, you take a look at his mother's side. His mother's side is coming from Yisro, and they're idolaters. What a hypocrite. So anyway, so we're going to leave the hypocrisy aside for now. The Gemara elsewhere deals with that. But meanwhile, it's very clear from the Gemara over here that he is, in fact, a descendant of Yisro. So basically, again, we try to argue that why was Pinchas so invested to go out to war against the Midianim? Because of what they did to his altar Zayde Yosef. The Gemara is basically trying to figure this out. What do you mean, Alter Zeta Yosef? On the father's side, it's Levi. On the mother's side, we're pretty sure it's Yisro. So the Gemara says, Ella, Iavu Adime mi Yosef, Ime Dime mi Yisro. So the Gemara says, okay, so on the maternal side, so basically what we could do is we could divide. Obviously, on his mother's side, so two parents created his mother. And basically what we're now going to do is we're going to divide. So on one side, it's Yosef, on the other side, Yisro, meaning generationally, if you climb up. Okay, and the Gemara says, look, I'm not convinced which one is which, but one is going to the Yosef, in other words, on the family tree, one heading up is going to Yosef, and the other heading up is going to Yisro. Dekanami dechsev mi bnos putiel. So, it says mi benos putiel, and it doesn't. It has it with a yud. It's written malay. So tre mashma. So shmamina. So the fact that it says putiel with a yud. So that gives us now the double entendre. What's the double entendre? One, a reference to his idolatrous grandfather Yisro, and the other one is a reference to Yosef, who's fighting with his yetzahara. Right, and again, going back to the Yosef Eshes Potiphar scenario. Okay, so admittedly a little bit complicated, and really I didn't go into any kind of detail, but still what comes out from the Gemara over here is that Pinchas does generationally go back to Yosef on his mother's side, not on his father's side, and then how on the mother's side, that's a little bit complicated, but on his mother's side it goes back to Yosef. Good. Adkan. All right, we are now up to the Mishnah. V'dibra Shochim. So our Mishnah now is going to be going over the various instructions that are given to the army as they're going out to war. What I'd like to do just for a moment right now, it's going to be important setup, is I want us to have a little more familiarity with the Pesukim inside. Kisetze l'melchama. Okay, there are two parshios that are pretty near one another that starts off with Kisetze l'melchama. A common mistake by a Balkore, I'm not a Balkore, but common mistakes of a Balkore is that when they open up with the Parsha of Kiseitse, so they mistakenly go back to, Kiseitse is in Perek Chafalef, right? Pasuk Yud. But meanwhile, there is one Perek earlier, the beginning of Perek Chaf, Kiseitse l'melchama la'ivecha. But that is not the beginning of Parsha's Kiseitse, that just happens to be same starting point. You're going out to war, And Varisa Susvarechav Amrab Mimchal Ti Al Tira Mehem Yeshem Elokecha Imach Amacha Meretz Mitzrayim. Okay. The parts I want to focus on are the following. I'm going to look over here at this parsha. It's 8-9 psukim. It's really short. I just want to break it up so that you understand where we're headed. Vayakikar v'chem al malchama v'nigash ha'kohen v'diber la'am. So we're given now a speech by the Kohen. Over here, when we say the Kohen, we're talking about Meshuch Mechama. V'amar alem shema yisrael atem krevim ayom al-mechama al-evechem al-yirach l'vavchem al-tiru v'al-tach bezu v'al-tartzu mipneihem. Ki Hashem lokechem olechem lechem lelechem lechem imo evechem loshia eschem. Okay, stop. That is now section one. So section one, we're going to be given basically a pep talk by the Meshuch Mechama. And that is, don't be scared. Good. Section two. V'dibra shoshir malam le'mor mi'esh asher bana bayis chadosh v'lo chancho yelech v'yashuv v'veso penyamos b'mechama v'yish acher yechan chenu. So in section two now we're given the peturim, exemptions. So, and we're going to go through this in much more detail. So right now, I'm just setting us up. Mi'esh asher natak karen v'lo halolo v'lo chilolo yelech v'yashuv v'veso penyamos b'mechama v'yish acher yechalenu mi'esh asher eiras isha v'lo lekacha yelech v'yashuv v'veso penyamos b'mechama v'yish acher yechachenu. Okay, stop. That's section two. Section two is that a patur, and how many exemptions are there right now? Three exemptions. We're going to go through them in much greater detail. And finally, v'yasvu ha'shochim l'daber l'am v'amru mi'esha yirei ha'yarei v'rach ha'levav yelech v'yashuv v'yso v'lo yimasu sevav v'chav kivavav v'yal kakalos ha'shochim l'daber l'am u'fakdu sarei tzvaos b'rosham. Okay. And then section three is the shochim. Right? Shoter is basically law enforcement. Police is what you and I would say. So they're going to be giving a speech, and that is, anyone who's scared can go back home right now. Okay. Good. So there are three sections in the Parsha of what happens now, who's talking when we go to war. Okay. Let's leave it like that, and let's now go to the Mishnah. V'dibur ha-shotrim, el ha'am le'mor. So mi ha'isha shabana ba'is chadosh v'lo chancho yelech v'yashov l'veso echad abona beis ha'teven u'beis ha'bakar beis ha'itzim beis ha'utzaros. Okay, good. So this is now Mishnah at its classic. And that is, give me definition. Meaning, you built a house, you have an exemption. Okay, good. New, what's a house? Okay. So the Mishnah now gives us examples of the house. It doesn't have to be your domicile. It doesn't have to be the place where you're living. House over here includes just basically anything that could serve as a house. Even a base tevin, even a base eitzim, even a base bakar. Right? You have a warehouse. A warehouse is a house. So, echad abon ve'echad okef ve'echad yoresh ve'echad shinita lamatana. Also, by the way, it doesn't have to be that you built it. In other words, you could purchase it as long as to you it's a new house. So then you have a patur, you have an exemption. Here we are now, exemption number two. And that is a vineyard. So, now, even though the pasuk says kerem, which is a vineyard, so the exemption goes beyond that, even if it is ilane maichal, fruit trees. Five fruit trees to be specific. Even if those five fruit trees are five different fruit trees, it still would qualify as a patur. And doesn't matter if you're planting the tree or you are mavrich. The word mavrich, I don't know the English, but you take a vine of the tree, a branch of the tree, and you put it back into the ground. And it's going to come and produce a new tree. So that is considered like you planted a new tree.
Grafting?
Well, that's the next one. Next one is echad hamarkiv. Markiv is grafting. So echad alokech, or you bought a new tree. Echad yoresh, you inherit a tree. Ve'echad shenita l'matan, you're gifted a new tree. Again, all these are now considered new trees, even if you didn't do the physical act of planting, and therefore you are going to receive a patur. That is patur number two. And finally, patur number three. Misha sheri ras isha echad amaris besul ve'echad amaris samana ve'afilu shomeris yavam ve'afilu shama shemes ech achiv b'mechamam. So chozer uvalo. So the patur is somebody who is who's doing erusin with either a besula or an almana or a shomer yavam, any one of the above. For you, it's a new wife. Your brother dies, and now you have the mitzvah of Yibum. You also now are receiving a patur. Call Elu ve'Elu, everyone that we just listed in our Mishnah. Shomim divrei kohen me'archem el'chama v'chozrin. So, umisapkin mein umazon umisakinin esadrachim. Now, even though you're given a patur, but this is going to be a specific type of patur, and that is that you don't have to do battle, but you still have to be included in the war effort. You are going to go back to your city. In other words, you don't have to fight. However, misapkin mein umazon. But what you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to make sure that you are, that the provisions are going to be sent over to the soldiers, and you're going to be involved in making sure that water and food are going to be sent. So you're still included in the war effort. And umisaknes adrachim, also infrastructure as well. Those are going to be your responsibilities. So your patur is a limited patur. You don't go to war, but at the same time, you don't get to go back home. You are still involved in the war effort. Now, who is not exempted? So over here, if let's say, for example, you built for yourself a beishar or achsaja or mirpeses, so in any one of those cases, so that is not a domicile. That's not a house. In other words, you'll forgive me. I'm not going to give good definition to all these different types of structures. But basically what they are various, outside structures. They're not considered a house. Hanotel arbe ilani mach v'chamisha ilani strak. So in terms of the planting, let's say it's only four trees. Let's say it's five trees, but they're non-fruit producing trees. So you're given no patur whatsoever. You're not exempt. And finally, amachzer grushaso, amana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedjot, mamzeres nesina l'Yisrael, bas Yisrael l'mamzer nesin, lo yechozer. If, for example, it's not a new wife to you, i.e. you divorce her, but then you remarried her again, which you're allowed to do, provided she doesn't marry anyone in the interim. So that's what's called machzer grushaso, the mutter mater grushaso. So you're not exempt. Why? Because she's not a new wife. Granted, you married her again, but in other words, the one you're already married to. On top of that, if the marriage is iser, so you are not given an exemption. And Rabbi Yehuda omer, afa bonabais al mechono, lo hayachozer. And Rabbi Lazar omer, afa bonabais levenim b'sharon, lo hayachozer. Various tanaim over here give us various exemptions. If you are, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you knocked your house down, you built it up again, nothing new. It's just simply you built your house, you rebuilt your house as it was originally. This doesn't qualify as a bais chadash. You are not exempt. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if you're building your house, levenim b'sharon. The Rashi describes over here that the land is really, really soft. And what's going to end up happening is that you're going to have to end up rebuilding it again. You know you're going to have to end up rebuilding it again. While you're building your house under, on such poor ground, I don't know. We decided to do that here in South Florida. Seems to be working out. Anyway, but you're not given an exemption because this is not going to be a permanent residence. And lo yechozer. The Elu Shein Zazamim come on. Okay, so. What do we have right now in our Mishnah? Really long Mishnah. And that is that we have a list of Peturim here in the Mishnah in terms of who is given an exemption. But so far, the exemptions that we've given out are not full exemptions. They're partial exemptions. You don't have to actually go out to the battle, but at the same time, however, you're still involved in the war effort. Now, we're going to be giving a description of people who do not need to go out to war at all. In fact, they don't even go to the border. In other words, these exemptions are such strong exemptions that they get to stay home altogether. So Eilu Shein Zazamim Kamam. So Banabais Bechancho. So what you did is that you built a house and you were mechanech your house. You inaugurated your house. Otherwise stated, this is now the first year since the building of your new home. And now to Karen Vechilalo. So and now what you did is you planted a vineyard and you have not yet gone through 4 years of that vineyard. The first 3 years of the vineyard, so that's what's called Arla. Fourth year is what's called Keren Ravai. So what happens now is that in that fourth year, the harvest of that fourth year has to be redeemed, right? The Keren Ravai has the same halachas as Meister Sheni. So from the point of planting until year number four, So you are in a full exemption where you don't even have to go out to the you don't even have to go out to the border. No says arusa so marrying an arusa kones es yivimto shenemar nakiya leveso shana achas. So leveso zubeso and yezu kamo vistimecha is ishto zu ishto asher lakach lavis yivimto. So ein maspikim mayim mazon ve'ein misaknes adrachim. So if in the event where you are now living in the house, right, enjoying the vine that you, well, not enjoying, right, but just planted, or just got married, so in any one of those, and you're in Shana Rishona, so any one of those circumstances, so now you're in this new category of a full exemption where you don't even have to go out to the Sfar, you don't go out to the border, so you get to stay home altogether. Okay, so in this extraordinarily long mission that we just covered, so what we just went through are the speaking parts that are assigned in the parsha. In a moment, we're going to go through them better and talk about who's exactly speaking. We went through the exemptions. Three people are exemptions. And even in the three exemptions, there are two levels within the three exemptions. Level number one is that you're not given a full exemption, but you don't have to go out to war, but you still have to be involved in the war effort. That's level one of the three exemptions. And then level two of the three exemptions is where you are given a full exemption. And you don't even have to go out to war. Okay, a number of things need to be clarified. Tan Rabbanan, we're immediately moving to the Gemara. Mem Gimel Amad Aleph. The Gemara immediately following the Mishnah. V'dibra Shotrim. So Yachol Dvarim Shalatzman. Kishu Amar V'yasvu Shotrim. Sorry, Dvarim Shalatzman Amor. So what the Gemara is trying to wrap its head around right now is who's speaking. Right? As we set up before the Mishnah, I went through the Parsha in Shoftim. And there are three sections. Section number two can be a little bit confusing because section number two says that the Shochim are speaking. But when you go to section number three, clearly there the Shochim are speaking. So who's speaking in section number two? Hamani Mekayim V'dibra HaShochim. So B'dibra HaMashoch Mechamakas Medaber HaKeitzad. So Kom Medaber V'Shochim HaShmiya. Okay. So what happens in section number two is that really it's still the Meshoch Mechama that's speaking. However, who's broadcasting? So the Shochim are broadcasting. So, and here we're going to really spell it out. Tanichada, kol medaber v'shotem mashmiach. V'tanya idach, kol medaber v'kol mashmiach. V'tanya idach, shotem medaber v'shotem mashmiach. So I'm Rabbi Akesad. So I have three brisas, and each one of the brisas is giving us a different picture of what's happening over here. Rabbi says it's not a different picture. It's just a different section of the parsha. Akesad. So I'm just going to go back to what the way I set it up before we read the Mishnah, right? See above. So section one. So kol medaber v'kol mashmiya. Ah, so in section one, basically, don't be afraid. So that is the kohen medaber kohen mashmiya, meaning that who is speaking the meshuch machama, who is broadcasting kohanim. Okay, that's section one. Mivadibro ad v'yasfu kol medaber v'shoter mashmiya. Section number two, so those are the exemptions. The Meshuch Mechama speaking, but the Shoter, the enforcement, they're going to be broadcasting. And finally, Miviyasfu Ve'elech, Shoter Medaber Ve'Shoter Meshmiya. Section three, so that's going to be the Shotrim. The Shotrim are going to be speaking, the Shotrim are going to be broadcasting. What's section number three? Who's ever afraid can now go ahead, turn around, and go back home. Okay. That's my understanding. I see it that way, but So mi aisha shebana bayis chadash tana rabbanan asher bana. So okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to go over the exemptions and we're going to go through it in more detail. The Gemara here quotes a brisa. Look, the Mishnah already spoke about it in tremendous detail, but here we have a brisa. Asher bana ein li el asher bana. So when you're reading the Pesukim of the Torah and you're reading about the exemption of having built a new house, so a literal reading of the Pesuk would indicate that you have to build a new house. So, but so how do I know that any form of acquisition of the home, even though the home itself is not a home that you built, how do I know that's including the exemption? So mi ha'ish. So the Pesuk just could have said mi asher bana. And it says mi ha'ish, so that's a ribui. So it talks about as long as to you, the person, the house is new, i.e. you just bought it. So now you qualify as being exempt. Asher bana bias, ain li ala bias. Now we're focusing on the word bias. So minayin l'rabos beis atevin beis abakar beis aitzim beis atzaros tamalom rosher bana mikom makom. Oh. So the bias would seem to indicate that it has to be a place of human residence. How do I know that includes beis tevin, beis oats are basically warehouses? So the asher bana is a ribui, comes to include. So yachoshani marbe afa bore beis shar achsadra mirpesos. What about these outside edifices which are not really for residence? So tamalamar bias ma bias or ladira af kol. It has to be a bias, which means something that you are living in. It has to be a living facility. Now, granted that a warehouse is not a living facility, but you could move into the warehouse. You could settle in the warehouse. But if we're talking about porches and other types of outdoor structures, they just simply cannot qualify as a bias. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer bias kemashmao. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that when I see the word bias, so it has to be a bias, meaning that he does not include the base tevin, the base otzer. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov of the Brisa, a warehouse is not giving you an exemption. Lo chanach. Okay, so that was all exemption number one. So in the Brisa, it's in terms of the information same as the Mishnah. But a couple things. In the Braisa, we saw how the Pesukim got darshaned, right? We didn't see that so much in the Mishnah. And also in the Braisa, we saw that there is a Das Yachid, right? That argues with the Tanakhama. Okay. But we're continuing now in this Braisa. We are towards the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Lo Chanach Velo Chancho. So Prat LeGazlan. So when the Braisa now goes on to describe the, we're still in exemption number one. Okay, I'm sorry, we haven't moved to two yet. And lo chanach, he didn't inaugurate it. Lo chancho prat legazlan. And that means to say that we're coming to exclude a gazlan, meaning, and I know this sounds funny, but if you stole a house, you're not given an exemption. Right? Imagine the chutzpah. I love the scene. Right. I just moved into a new house. Really? Right. Can we see title? In other words, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't really buy it. Correct. The owner. Well, yeah, what's it called? I just dismissed him, and I took over. Oh, okay, good. I'm sorry. What? So anyway, so we're proud of Gazlan. So we're excluding a Gazlan. So the Gemara says now, Lema. Deloka Rabbi Yosei Glili, Di Rabbi Yosei Glili, Ha'amar, Racha Levav, Zeh, Ha'misyare, we're on the Amud Beis, Me'aver Shabiyado. Now, that third section that talks about Racha Levav, you know, if you're scared, you go back home now, right? In other words, we don't need you at the warfront. In fact, we don't want you at the warfront. Okay, but Racha Levav means what? So, like I just said, it means scared. Rav Yosei Ha'glili says no, meaning yes and no. Rav Yosei Glili means that he doesn't mean they're scared from battle, right? Who isn't scared from battle? Okay, I speak as not somebody who's fought in battle, but in other words, it's easy to imagine, right? And know plenty of people who were in battle, and my brother included, and it's scary. According to Rav Yosei Glili, the exemption is not for somebody who was in battle, but according to Rav Yosei Glili, it means that you have a virus. And so therefore, what you're worried about is that you don't have the proper schus when you're going out to battle, because you have a virus. Oh. So according to Rav Yosei Glili, so already you're going home. Why? Because you're a gazlan. Meaning, you're getting into the weeds of, right, is it your house? Is it not your house? Meaning, if you stole the house, so you're going to not go in battle simply because you are now in, you're in section 3 of the Parsha, according to Rav Yosei Glili. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rav Yosei Glili, kagon davet tshuva v'yav demei. So the Gemara says, now, what we're describing over here is the following. You stole the house, and then after having stole the said house, you then had a tshuva moment, right? I shouldn't have stole the house. What I did was bad. So you go back to the original owner, and you say to him, look, feel terrible, right? In other words, I threw you out, and I shouldn't have done it, and I want to make amends. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to keep the house. If it's okay with you, right? Assuming, of course, in other words, you can't just simply pay now. That's called chamas, right? That's extortion. But if it's good with you, I'll pay for it. And the original owner says, fine, fine. So under those circumstances, now tshuva has been performed. So afilu tema Rav Yosef Galili came to have a tshuva v'yav demei. So yachi have a little kech v'lehadis. So the Gemara says, okay. So now what? So you're no longer a gazlan because you did tshuva. And now what did you just do? You just bought a house. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You just bought a house. So you just bought a house. It's called lekicha. So yachi have a little kech v'lehadir. So came to mikar b'toros gzila asaliyadei lo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? Even though you are a purchaser of a home, but you are not given the exemption. You don't qualify for the exemption. Why? Because to be considered a purchaser, in order to qualify for exemption, there has to be that from the point of origination, it had to have been a purchase. You see over here, in this particular case, in this strange case, you didn't originally purchase it. You originally took the owner and just threw him right out of his home. Thank you very much. You're a gazlan. And so now, granted that you made amends, and granted that you did tshuva, and granted that you paid for it, but this house will never qualify for you as an exemption of being a lokeach, because that exemption is only when you bought it originally. Okay. Ad kan, that was already a long discussion regarding exemption number one. Mia isha sher nata kerem, we're now in exemption number two, we're talking about the kerem, we're talking about the vineyard. Misha sher nata kerem tanu rabbanan. And here we go, round number two. We're going to do three rounds of this. We're going to be quoting a brisa, and the brisas are going to be speaking about the three exemptions. And so here the brisa is going to go into detail regarding exemption number two, and that is having planted a new vineyard. So mi yesh asher nata kerem. So tana rabbanan asher nata, ein li ela nata. Now, again, a simple reading of the psukim would indicate that you have to plant it yourself. So, lakach v'yarash v'nitan la b'matan aminayin tamalam r'miyayish. Again, same as what we did earlier with the house. And that is that you don't have to do the physical planting. As long as to you it's a new vineyard, so then that's fine. You bought it. It was gifted to you. If it's to you, that's the miha ish. We're darshing the word ish. So as long as to you it's new, so you're exempt. Asher nata kerem. So ein li ela kerem. Now, the pasuk says kerem, which sounds like the exemption is only for a vineyard. But meanwhile, we know it's more than that. Minayin l'rabbos, chamisha ilanimach, v'afilu mishar minim. So tam lamar asher nata. So the pasuk says the word nata, the planting could be on any fruit-producing tree. Yachusha nimar benote arba ilanimach, v'chamisha ilanisrak. What if it's only four fruit-producing tree? So tam lamar keren, no, it has to fit under the category of kerem. Kerem vineyard means that it has to be a mess, a critical mess. Now over here, the number five, why is not the number five a critical mess? I don't know. But it is. In other words, so in order to hit this critical mess, so you have to have five fruit trees. It doesn't have to be a vineyard, but it has to be the number five. And each one of the five have to be producing fruit. Okay, so like we did regarding the house, we're doing the same thing over here regarding a vineyard and expansion. It's not just limited to a vineyard. It's as long as it's a fruit-producing tree, but they have to be five of them. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, Kerem Kemashma'o. And once again, Shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, arguing on the Tanakhama, says no. When the Torah says the word Kerem, it means Kerem. Kerem means Kerem. It has to be a vineyard. He limits the exemption to only those who have a vineyard, planted a vineyard. V'lo chilel, v'lo chilelo prat l'mavrich. Right? The Pasuk says, lo chilelo. So that is an exclusion. And pralam mavrich and markiv. So again, mavrich, taking one of the branches, putting it back into the ground in order that it grows anew. Markiv is grafting. So they are not included in nitiya, and therefore you do not receive an exemption. The Gemara says vahanan tanan. The Gemara says, okay, but you know what we just learned in the Braisa? Compare that to what we learned this morning in the Mishnah. Meaning, what's happening over here is that we do not have alignment between Mishnah and Braisa. The Gemara makes this point right now. So our Mishnah says that if you do either Havracha or Harkava, you do get an exemption. Okay, so we are looking at a simple stira between the mission of the Braisa. Am Rabbi Zera, Am Rav Chisla, Lokasha. Kan Bar Kavas Iser, Kan Bar Kavas Heter. So So the Gemara says it's just a question of what kind of grafting are we talking about. So are we talking about a heter grafting? Or are we talking about an iser grafting? So the, in other words, what's iser grafting? Grafting where I'm taking a branch of a different species tree and grafting it onto another tree. Oh. So that grafting you're not allowed to do. That's called kalayim. And that is when the Brisa says when you do that kind of grafting, you do not receive an exemption. However, if you do a good grafting, basically you take a branch and you put it on a tree and they're the same species, min bimino, so then you are in fact allowed the heter. Okay. Now, we are really, I've been sitting on this pun all morning. So everyone, please get ready, right? Settle in. Okay. Drum roll. Okay. Now we're going to get into the weeds. So over here, thank you. I really appreciate it. So over here, what we're going to do is that we're going to get really heavily involved into the grafting that we're describing over here that's going to be providing an exemption. Okay, now, let's all remember. Okay, in order to receive an exemption, so you're going to be planting a tree. Alternatively, you're going to be grafting a tree. It has to be new. And again, the definition of new is any time from the point of planting until it's 4 years of age. At 4 years of age, first 3 years are Arla, fourth year is Kerem Ravai, and I know the Kerem Ravai is for a vineyard, Netta Ravai is for a tree, but the same basic idea. So only at the fourth year. Now, granted, by the way, in the fourth year itself, when does the exemption come to an end? Truth of the matter is, it's a debate amongst the Rishonim, and I don't want to give too much information right now. Try to keep it as simple as possible. Let's just simply say 4 years. So you're given now an exemption for 4 years after planting. Okay. If you don't want to go to war, by the way, I'm thinking like a regular human. So if you don't want to go to war, and you hear now that the war is coming, so what you quickly do, quickly go out into the backyard and you start planting trees. Okay. But or graft a tree. Okay. So anyway, so this exemption that's provided for you is now not only if you plant a tree, but even if you graft as well. Okay. Now, but if you're grafting Isser, meaning if you're making kalayim, so then you don't have an exemption. Great. If you're grafting min bimino, you're given an exemption. Okay, good. Now on this point over here, so now we're going to get into the weeds. So, hi, Akrevis heter hechidami ilam yalda bialda. So, typically, debai mehadar mishim yalda rishona. So what did I just do? Did I just graft a young branch? When I'm saying the word young over here, I just simply mean it's within its 4 years. So when I grafted a young branch onto a young tree, so now you get an exemption. The Gemara says, what? Well, in other words, just hear the sentence again. I grafted a young branch on a young tree. That by definition means I have a young tree already. So if not for the act of grafting do I get an exemption, I get an exemption because I have a young tree, period. So, and Yalda, Ella, Yalda, Abizikena. So what I must have done over here is I grafted a branch onto an old tree, a young branch onto an old tree. So the Gemara says, Vamer Rabbi Abba, Yalda, Shisivcha Bizikena, Batla Yalda Bizikena, Veinba Din Arla. So the Gemara says, okay, but don't you know the halachas of Arla? And I will forgive everybody, and I'll be forgiving to myself as well for not knowing well the halachas of Arla. But here's what happens, and that is that when you're grafting a branch onto a tree, the branch takes on the identity of the tree. If the tree is old, so then the branch is old as well. So whatever the status of the tree is, whatever I'm grafting onto that tree, assumes the identity of the tree. And so therefore, if I'm taking a new branch and grafting onto an old tree, you know what that new branch becomes? Immediately old. Okay, I'm speaking obviously in terms of halacha. And if that's true, so now we are confused. Meaning, we just learned together in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, that if I'm grafting, I get an exemption. And now, what are you talking about? If it's Yalda B'Yalda, you already have an exemption. If it's Yalda B'Zekena, so then you don't receive an exemption because Yalda immediately assumes the status of being a Zekena. Amr of Yirmi, Olam Yalda B'Yalda. So the Gemara says, okay, no, what we're really talking about is Yalda B'Yalda, Kagon, Denat Alach Kamaisa, Lisiag, Ulikoros. So the Gemara here now gives us a specific detail, and that is that the original tree that was planted not for a tree purpose, but for a fence purpose. And here we get to another Mishnah. Hanote Elisiago Lakoros Patamina Arla. If I'm planting for fencing, so then it is going to be exempt from Arla. So, and Umaishna Yalda Bezakena Debatla, Umaishna Yalda Beyalda De Labatla. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, so how does that work now? That if I take new and graft it onto an old, so now it becomes batal. But if I take new and plant it onto new, it doesn't become batal. So how's Mimim Lachalala Ba Mehardahu? So the Gemara says, because over there, so even if I change my mind, I cannot change its status. But Hachimim Lachala Bas Mehardahu here, but over here, so when I plant a tree for the purpose of fencing, so over there, there can be a change of status. Meaning, if let's say I change my mind and I don't want the tree to service as fencing, so then it can have a change of status. So, dahami ikara leperi kaima, because when I'm planting a fruit tree, obviously, its primary function is that of a fruit tree. And so even though my original kavana was to plant it for fencing, nevertheless, if I change my mind and now want to use it as a fruit tree, I can in fact use it as a fruit tree. Midi dahavi alume alayim. So the let's say for example nobody planted a tree. In other words, nature took its course and a tree just simply grew. So did not alume alayim chayavim ba'arla. Meaning when a tree grows on its own, even though nobody planted it, it's still going to have a dinarla. So the fact of the matter is that when I'm planting a fruit tree, so if I'm doing it for fencing purposes, it is now no longer going to subscribe to the rules of arla. However, that can change with the change of kavana. Okay. A very detailed discussion regarding how do you receive an exemption for grafting? Okay. Let's pause over here. Okay. There's still more. I know. There's still more Arla discussion, a little bit more Arla discussion, but we will save it for tomorrow. I see the time; the music is about to start. Okay. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our day today. Okay, we went through the don't rely on man, but rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the beginning of today's daf, and the Gemara cited a number of psukim that would indicate so. When Pinchas went to battle, so Pinchas went to battle because of an old axe that he had to grind with the Midyanim, okay? And then we went over, well, who exactly was Pinchas' lineage? On his father's side, that was very clear. On his mother's side, less clear. And what the Gemara tried to do at the beginning of today's daf is clarify, was he maternally a descendant of Yosef? Was he maternally a descendant of Yisro? And the answer could very well be yes. Okay, yes. Okay, and then we started with the exemptions. In the middle of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, so we went through the various exemptions of who gets to go out, who does not get to go out to the battle. And within the exemptions, there basically are two levels. One level is that you still have to go out to the border with the army, and over there you're going to be receiving a limited exemption where you don't have to go out to battle, but you are going to still be involved in the war effort. And then the full exemption, where you actually not only built a house, but you started living in there within the first year, married a woman, started living with her within the first year, planted a vineyard, and started cultivating it within the first 4 years. So in any one of those, you're given the full exemption. The full exemption now allows you to not even have to go out to the border. You could stay home. And and what we did in the course of today's daf is go through many details within those exemptions. Today is a very Gemara-heavy daf where we went through the technicalities of within those exemptions, who's in the exemption, who's outside the exemption, how do we learn it out from the psukim? So very, very, very detail-oriented. And the last point, which we spent a lot of time going over, is that not only if you plant a tree, but even if you graft a tree, you're exempt. And then the Gemara just went through the details of, wait 1 second, how does grafting create an exemption? Right? With the very nuanced point of if you're grafting young on young, you already are exempt. If you're grafting young on old, so then the young takes on the status of the old. So give me a case in which you're grafting, and meanwhile, that grafting creates an exemption. Right now, the answer that we've so far given is that the tree that you planted was for fencing purposes. That's not giving you an exemption. But now when I'm grafting on said tree, so that's going to give you an exemption. That's where we are in terms of an answer.